Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I hope you enjoy this special message that I'm creating for you called Ears to Hear. This message supports my book and my CD series called Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide to the Second Coming. Now, if you were to ask any Christian, in fact, if you were to ask almost any person on planet Earth, if they always want to know the truth, the answer would certainly be an emphatic yes. But if that were really true, the world would not be in the chaotic mess that it's in today. Truth, while becoming harder and harder to discern, can always be known by those who honestly and truly seek it above all else. Truth is not simply accurate information, by the way. Truth is accurate information and all that it implies. And unless we understand the implications, accurate information then can be used to deceive us. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring us the truth. In other words, he came to show us and teach us all that was implied and intended by every word God had ever spoken. You've got to remember that faith, the very core of faith, is trusting the character and the motives of God. You know, if you attempt to apply the Word of God with a different motive than God intended when he spoke that Word, you will be using correct information. You will be using something that's true, but it's not truth because it's not based on God's character. It's not based on God's motive. It's not congruent with everything that God has ever said. Now, my book and CD series, Apocalypse, are not written and taught from the perspective that all of the insights presented in them is the only way to interpret the scripture that we're going to look at. But it is written in a way that will increase your willingness and your capacity for truth. Now, as the most catastrophic events ever experienced on planet Earth unfold, it's essential that we know the truth. In this case, we need to know the truth about the end. Now, the truth about the end has little to do with our interpretations of all of the events, but has everything to do with the warnings and preparations taught by our Lord Jesus. Too often we hear a message about the return of Jesus that really plunges us deep into fear, overwhelms us with information, and in some manner it paralyzes us. The emphasis seems to always be more on the end times rather than on Jesus' personal return or the horrors of the devil instead of the protection of God. See, God's Word, even his revelations about the most horrific events ever seen on planet Earth, is always designed to warn us, to equip us, to comfort us, and to prepare those who know him and who are fully committed to following him. God never wants you to be in the dark. He never wants you to be without protection. And I'll tell you something that you will learn is the more you listen to the Holy Spirit in your heart, the more you listen to him and follow him, the less you will ever be surprised by any of the events that take place in your life or around you. Now, it's God's intention that all of his children be overcomers, are at the very least capable of enduring. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to just be an endurer. I don't want to be somebody who just survives. I want to be somebody who overcomes when I'm facing tribulation, when I'm facing obstacles, when I'm facing temptations. You know, an endurer is somebody who just makes it by the skin of their teeth, and maybe their teeth is all they've got left. But an overcomer is somebody who wins over the challenges. In our quest for end time knowledge, we have really ignored the most important single capacity for absolute victory. It's called ears to hear. In the book of Revelation, we are told that this is written to those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, there can be a wide variety of reasons someone doesn't want to hear the truth. As Jesus said, we sometimes close our ears because we don't want to hear. If you read where Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower and the seed and why he taught in parables, at first glance, you would think that he was saying that he taught in parables just because it was just for certain people to get it. But when you read on, you discover that he says that they close their eyes lest they see. They close their ears lest they hear. They harden their hearts lest they understand. And the reason is they do not want to change. The need to be right drives us to only want the portion of truth that confirms the notion that our opinion is, in fact, correct. When we have something to lose, we tend to long for a version of the truth which appears to protect us from loss. But it doesn't. A lie never protects you from loss. Now remember, you can turn the word of God into a lie when you apply it from a wrong motive, when you twist it. Just because you're saying the words that are in the Bible doesn't mean that we are in fact walking in the truth. One of the interesting things about the truth, the Hebrew word for truth has three letters, and it's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and a middle letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And one of the things that they understand from many of these concepts about these letters and how they're, what number they are and this sort of thing, is that truth isn't just what's in front of you right now. It's not just the middle letter. It has to be, if it's truth, it has to be consistent with everything that God has ever said from the beginning all the way through to the end. And so just picking some part of the truth is not really grasping the truth. And that's not going to set you free. It's not going to protect you from loss. If a particular truth presents a possibility of danger or hardship, it's human nature to deny, discredit, or otherwise convince ourselves of some version of the truth that's less threatening. Now, all of these factors can cause us to twist what we read, what we hear in our heart, into something that is more palatable and more suited to our fears. In Revelation 2:7, Jesus repeats an admonition that he had previously given when he was preaching about the gospel of the kingdom, where he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But in the book of Revelation, now that he's been raised from the dead and the church has been born, he says, "He who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, the book of Revelation is one of the most challenging and difficult books of the Bible to understand, yet within it is the key to overcoming during the world's most difficult period of history. It's a message to the church, the body of Christ, his most valued love, those for whom he sacrificed his life and fought the most significant spiritual battle in all of history. Even though these words were originally spoken to a particular group of churches or a particular group of people, like all of his words, if they're truth, these words would apply today, just like they applied when they were spoken, and they are rooted in what God has always said from the very beginning. So you can't take these words and just on the basis of dispensationalism, disregard them or reject them. If you want the truth, and you've got to realize that what God said applies at all times. So this is something we want to hear, and this is something we want to understand. Now, the other books of the Bible, with the exception of the futuristic prophecies that were contained in some of them, tend to relate to past history. In other words, we have the historical books of the Bible that tells us things that happened. And it's easy to look back and understand what they meant because we have a historical record for comparison. But the book of Revelation is the future. We have nothing with which to compare these events. Well, maybe we do. If instead of attempting to interpret these future events based solely on current events, if we used past history and other events documented in the Bible as the main key to interpretation, we could demystify what seems so complex. One of the most important keys to biblical interpretation is this: let the Bible interpret the Bible. Compare Scripture to Scripture. Failure to utilize past recorded Bible events may be one of the major contributors to confusing and often erroneous doctrine and prophetic interpretation. You see, we've got to compare these futuristic prophecies to what God has said and done in the past to really best understand them. Now, it's very important, and you'll discover that a major aspect of the worldwide conspiracy of the father of all lies is to twist our understanding of both biblical and secular history. Now, the phrase biblical and secular history is to some degree a misnomer. It's impossible to interpret any account of history without an accurate knowledge of biblical history. Now, biblical history is the light whereby we judge all accounts of history. Failure to do so not only leads us to a perversion of the truth of God's word, but it'll also lead us to an antichrist, Luciferian opposition to the truth. It's amazing how much Luciferian doctrine is accepted by the church, how much Luciferian interpretation of history is accepted by the church. Not because the church is trying to be evil, but just because we really have never studied world history from the perspective of what was corresponding in biblical history. Now, if we understand history from a biblical perspective, we would not be so vulnerable to so many false doctrines about God. In fact, armed with the historical, spiritual facts, our understanding of the future really becomes crystal clear. When we stop trying to use current events and sensationalism to interpret the book of Revelation, but we start using the Bible to interpret it, I got news for you. It gets incredibly simple to the point that it's almost boring. Perhaps there's no other factor that makes end time teaching so difficult to understand. There are so many people teaching various versions of coming events that it's not only information overload, it's contradictory information overload. And this makes it an incredibly difficult situation to get a clear handle on. Now, obviously, there are doctrinal positions that are so theologically murky that they cloud the pool of biblical knowledge, and we feel compelled to choose one teaching over the other. But sometimes a particular interpretation may have very accurate information mixed with some very inaccurate information. Maybe we have put our attention, our efforts in all the wrong place. Maybe we should start with what we do know, and there is nothing more clear, nothing more sure that we can know than what Jesus said we must do to prepare. And I've just got to be honest with you, I don't think in my 40 plus years of studying Scripture, I don't think I've ever read one end time second coming book that placed the emphasis on what Jesus said we needed to do to prepare. Instead, it's all about trying to interpret all the prophecies, interpret all the events. It doesn't matter if you understand all the events that are coming. It doesn't matter if you've got sorted out exactly who the Antichrist is and where he's coming from and what he's going to do next. What matters is, can you hear and will you follow the voice of the Holy Spirit as he is leading you? See, the days are coming that will affect the entire world unlike anything that's ever happened. And as you're going to soon discover, there will be many paths of destruction working in many various ways. And we're going to look at many of these demonic factors and show the reader how they are all dimensions of one spirit working toward the collapse of the entire world. Now, we know in the end there's going to be a great falling away. I believe part of that falling away will occur because believers think God failed them. Now, there's a lot of reasons that we would think that God has failed us. Those who have set their entire hope on a particular unfolding of events will be rendered hopeless and dismayed if they're wrong, if those events don't happen the way they thought they were. It's possible to be so committed to a predetermined position that we will not recognize when or if the Spirit of the Lord is leading us in a direction that we didn't expect. See, this book, Apocalypse, and the CD series, Apocalypse, is written to move you to put your trust in God, to be able to hear the voice of God and be willing to follow no matter how things unfold. You know, if you've got your hope in a particular doctrine, you know, one of the famous particular doctrines is pre-tribulation rapture. I'm not saying I do or don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but I'm saying I'm open to it. But I'm saying if a pre-tribulation rapture doesn't happen, millions of people, when they are faced with challenges that they didn't prepare the way Jesus told them to prepare, they're going to be overwhelmed and they're going to believe that God has, in fact, let them down. But I can promise you this, God has never, never, never let any of us down. You know, in John 9, Jesus heals a blind man. And in verse 39, while explaining that he came so the blind could see, the Pharisees ask him, well, are you saying that we're blind? He then points out in verse 41 the reason they were, in fact, blind. It was from their insistence that they could see. See, when we begin to insist that we see, we close our eyes to all other options. We harden our heart to the voice of the Spirit, and we won't see what's coming. We won't hear what God is saying. That's why we're surprised when tragedies hit us today. That's why we choose the wrong job, the wrong mate, the wrong person, is because we get our heart set on something, and we insist that we see how it should be, and we really put ourselves in a position that we can't hear God when he's trying to lead us. A key factor to hearing God with pinpoint accuracy is realizing we may not really see as clearly as we think. The one who has ears to hear, Well, first of all, have a working knowledge of the Bible. And I tell you, as I travel across the country, as I talk to Christians, I have nearly 100,000 Facebook friends. And when I see the things that people post, when I see the doctrinal statements that people make or the things that people like, I'm like, are you kidding me? That's not even in the Bible. Not only is it not even in the Bible, but it's opposed to what the Bible teaches. And Christians are like, well, I like that. That sounds good. That encouraged me. So it's got to be from God because it encouraged me. No, if it's not in the Word of God, it's not from God. So the one who has ears to hear, it starts with having a working knowledge of the Bible. And when we have a working knowledge of the Bible, we'll be aware of the different possibilities of events and how they're going to unfold. And we will be open to hear the voice of God in our own heart. As much as anything, being able to hear, being able to have ears to hear, requires the surrendering of all of our egotistical attachments to our own personal opinions. And the final analysis, having ears to hear, is not necessarily going to depend on how much of the Bible we know, even though that's pretty important. If you've renewed your mind based on the Word of God, then when God speaks in your heart, you have a confirmation between, I know this to be biblical knowledge, I understand where God's leading me. So you're not going to be confused. There's not going to be a conflict in your conscience. You know, and your conscience is your dual knowledge, the knowledge that you're holding in your mind and the knowledge that intuitively comes to you from the voice of God. You don't want to be conflicted when God is speaking to you. So in final analysis, having ears to hear is not necessarily going to depend just on how much Bible we know, although that can be an incredible antidote to deception. It will be about our ability to hear and know the voice of God in our heart. After all, the Spirit of God is not nearly as interested in proving us right in our theology, in our eschatology, our study of end time events, as He is in leading us into this realm called the kingdom of God, where His provision, His power, and His protection abound. Let me ask you, have you ever trusted the wrong person? Have you ever invested in a bad business deal? Have you ever had a relationship or a marriage go wrong or taken a wrong job? Well, you know what? We've all had some of those things happen to us. These are all times when we did not have ears to hear. God always attempts to lead us, but for various reasons, we either fail to hear or we refuse to follow. We rationalize what He says. We convince ourselves that what we want is what God wants. You know, I cannot tell you how many times over the years of pastoring that somebody would come to me and they were in a relationship and they would say, Brother Jim, I know I'm not supposed to marry this person. And I would say, well, then it's real simple. If you're getting emotionally attached, you need to distance yourself, because if you keep staying involved with them, at some time your emotions are going to take over. You're going to convince yourself that you should marry them. And out of all of those times that people have come to me and said that, if they kept dating the person, they usually ended up marrying them. And then they went through a difficult, challenging marriage. And then 5, 10, 15 years later, they got a divorce. And then they're wondering why God let them down. They're wondering why God failed their marriage. God didn't fail their marriage. There was a point in time that they knew that they were not supposed to be in that situation. But for various emotional reasons, they talk themselves into it. Let me tell you something. God always attempts to lead us. And we either don't hear it, or we refuse to hear it, or we refuse to follow it. We have never made a bad decision. None of us have ever made a bad decision from which God was not trying to protect us. Owning this truth is the starting place to opening the ears of our heart to hear. Now, I'm not interested in changing your theology. You know, you may have a fixed theology about the end time. That's fine. But what I am interested in is I am interested in helping you develop a hearing ear. I'm interested in helping you learn to walk with God from your heart today. And that's the only solution for what's facing the world. That's the only solution. That's the only real hope of being an overcomer. And remember, the promises in the book of Revelation are to those who overcome. So I want to encourage you to start today developing a life of prayer, meditation, and contemplation, and reflection, and worship, anything that connects you to God. And I want to encourage you today to make all of your decisions with a deliberate intention to yield to the Holy Spirit, no matter how or where He may lead you. Now, most of you know we have a program called Heart Physics, and our Essential Heart Physics program is a 30-day life renewal program that causes you to have an unshakable, immovable awareness of Christ in you. And that's an incredible starting place if you don't have some way to launch this into yourself. And so many people's lives radically change after doing this program. Now, in the final analysis, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying exceeds the boundaries of an open mind. It exceeds the boundaries of an understanding of eschatology or anything that depends on an intellectual understanding of the end times. There are so many factors we do not and will not recognize until they happen. And I'm all right with that. And you've got to be all right with that. We're not going to figure out every detail of this. Nobody is that good of a theologian. Nobody is that spiritual. But we're going to recognize bits and pieces. But the key thing is, if we are open to God, we will hear the voice of God leading us into protection as things unfold, leading us and our family into safety and provision when all that our logical minds are telling us is failing us. Now, I want you to know, hear, trust, and follow the voice of God in your own heart, not just in the end, but now, every day in life. That's the way we're supposed to live. In fact, I don't want you to live like this is the end times. I want you to discover this incredible paradox. Live like everything Jesus said about the end is true and happening soon. But at the same time, enjoy life. Be alive to the Spirit of God. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Be a blessing to the people around you. Don't go into fear and paranoia and that's what happens when we study the end times just from an event perspective. We get afraid. We go to a bit of paranoia. We're scared to death of what's going to happen. And we get paralyzed. You know, preparing for the end, the number one thing that Jesus said about preparing for what's ahead is having ears to hear. But you know what? That's what He said we had to do to even walk in this thing called the kingdom of God. That's what He said we had to do to enjoy the benefits of God. Have ears to hear. So live with a certain awareness of eternity for yourself and for others, yet be able to experience an incredibly abundant and joyful life right now. But above all, follow the Holy Spirit every day as if your life depends on it. If we do this, we will all be as prepared as possible. Now, unlike any end time book that I've ever read, at the end of most chapters, I'm going to do something that you have never had. Because most end time books you read at the end of every chapter, what you've got is more fear, more questions, and more confusions. But at the end of every chapter in my apocalypse book, I'm going to provide you with some practical or spiritual steps you can take to prepare yourself for what you've learned. If you're listening to my CD series on apocalypse, almost every CD is going to be filled with steps that you can take. This is not about just trying to unravel the end. This is about being able to know what to do. This is about steps to develop yourself and to know how to follow God. I'm going to present you with concepts that may be different than anything you've ever heard concerning the end and how to prepare for it. I'm not going to try to get you to reject your current views as much as I want you to open your mind to possibilities of different scenarios and how they could unfold. This willingness to see other possibilities will open you to the voice of the Spirit when or as He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death into green pastures and still waters, strong protection, supernatural provision. The most important thing that you should know while the world is plunging in total darkness is this. The Bible provides an account of individuals who stood against the entire world and all the powers of darkness and won. And this cloud of witnesses provides a model for how to win against all odds. And buddy, that's what I want, because the odds are stacked against us. You know, you watch the news, you get overwhelmed, it's frustrating. You think, how in the world can anybody survive? And, you know, that's part of the whole design of what's happening in the world, is to get people so frustrated, so hopeless, that they do nothing and they lose trust for all things. Now, the one common denominator in all of the people of faith is that they trusted God and they followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand that's what this is about. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple more very, very important concepts that I want you to grasp as you think about facing everyday life. Like I say, the things that would equip a person for the tribulation are the very things that would equip you for the tribulation you're going to face today. You say, what tribulation? Well, maybe the bills you can't pay. Maybe the criticism that you face. Maybe you face some prejudice against Christians. Maybe you face people who hate you because of your faith. Maybe you've got certain temptations. Maybe you've got a sickness or disease that you keep struggling with and you just can't seem to find a victory. All of those are tribulations. All of those are things not designed to test your faith, but designed to steal your faith. I got news for you. God doesn't create scenarios just to test your faith. The Bible says when we're tempted, and the word tempted means tempted, tested, tried, scrutinized, don't say that it's from God. In that same chapter in the book of James, it goes on to say, listen, every good and perfect gift comes from God, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God is good. Everything that comes from him is good. Everything about him is love. If he's standing in perfect light, he never shifts enough from being a God of love and being good and giving perfect gifts. He never shifts enough to even cast a shadow in perfect light. So I want you to realize that one of the greatest deceptions as we come to the end, and one of the greatest deceptions that you face whenever you're in your tribulation for today or whenever you're facing your challenges is this. If we believe that God is the source of the problem, then we have nowhere to turn. We have no hope. I can remember when I was doing my undergraduate work in theology, and you know, I'm so thankful for the Bible school I went to. I learned some incredible things. I had some great teachers. But when it came to the area of faith, they really complicated it because, you know, you would hear the promises of God. You'd hear that God wants to heal you. And then the next class you would go to, and they'd be talking about God testing you and God trying you and God punishing you and, you know, God, you know, getting sick of you. And so I can remember thinking, okay, if I'm facing a challenge and this is a test that God's given me, or this is God's will for me, how could I ever have enough faith to change God's will? How could I ever have enough faith to overcome what God is doing to me? Well, you know, I soon discovered not only was God not doing it to me, God never does those things to anyone. Everything God ever does, he does from love. Now, you may read things in the Bible that you don't see that, but here's what's going to happen. In my book, I'm going to go in this in the CD series as much as I can, but the book is 480 pages. And in my book, probably two-thirds of the book is world history from a biblical point of view. And you're going to discover things about world history and how the current scientific and medical and governmental concepts, how they were molded from Luciferian doctrine and how they're designed ultimately to steal our faith. And you're going to see this from a biblical perspective. I'm not talking about getting all conspiracy conscious and scared to death. I'm talking about understanding how the world got where it is. And for the first time in your life, you're going to understand how we got here. You're going to also see how people who trusted God stood against all imaginal opposition. You got to realize when Abraham started following God, he was living in a land that was inhabited by giants. His father was part of the staff. Some people say he was a general in the army of Nimrod. Nimrod was a Nephilim, a demonic being that had as one goal to stamp out all the knowledge of God. And all of the Middle East and Egypt and all of that part of the world had been established by Nephilim and their weird religious beliefs and their scientific knowledge and their secret knowledge that they brought to the world was all based on their knowledge that they brought across with them before they began to cohabit with women. And so this has shaped the whole world. And the key concept behind all of that was to convince the world that God was not trustworthy, that God is angry, that God's full of wrath. So you're going to discover for the first time maybe why I talk about God's love, even whenever he sent the children of Israel into some place and said, listen, kill every animal, kill every person, kill everybody there. See, we read stuff like that because we don't know the background. We don't know the word of God. We think, well, man, that's not a very loving thing. I'll tell you something. If they had obeyed God and done those things today there would be no jihad. Today there would be no Middle Eastern religion that is seeking to destroy the entire world. If men had obeyed God in those things that seem so brutal but were in fact given for the protection of the rest of the world, we wouldn't be where we are today. You're going to see world history. You're going to see God from a whole new perspective. But I want you to understand something. Almost everything that's taught about the end today is taught that God is bringing about the tribulation as a judgment on planet Earth. I want you to understand the Bible says exactly the opposite. The Bible teaches that the tribulation is, in fact, the tribulation of the Antichrist and his followers. And when the Bible talks about the Antichrist receiving power or receiving authority to do certain things, that's not God giving him that authority and power. It's mankind giving him that power and authority because they give their power to him. They vote for him. They follow him. They follow his leading. They follow his teachings. You will never, 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 never in any situation be a conqueror if any part of you believes that God is bringing that hardship on you. If you believe that that's God's judgment against you, the Bible says that we should shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the Greek, it says something like this, to have your feet shod, and that gives you your foundation with a thorough preparation and a readiness of mind that comes from the gospel of peace. And I got news for you. Not many people even know there is a gospel of peace. You might want to check out my book, The Gospel of Peace, where we talk about the covenant of peace that God has made in the Lord Jesus. But know this, if you believe or consider that God might be doing to you whatever you're going through, then you will hesitate. You will not have confidence. You will waver. You will be unsure because you don't know and trust the character and the motives of God. Well, just imagine in a worldwide oppression, a worldwide darkness, if you think all of that is God judging you, you know what? That could be one of the major reasons of the great falling away, because that is, in fact, what most people believe about God. Listen, you are going to discover that the book of Revelation is a revelation about Jesus. It's a revelation about who he is. It's a revelation about the victory that he is going to give us over all of these circumstances. It's a revelation that ultimately causes us to see him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in a way that we have never, ever, ever seen him before. And I promise you, with every message you listen to in the CD series or every chapter you read in the book, you are going to grow in faith and confidence and knowledge in the goodness of your God and his ability to save and protect you. And you're going to free yourself from the deception that's in the world system. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope it was encouragement to you. I hope you're going to follow through. And, you know, whether you ever get the book or whether you ever buy the CDs or not, that really is secondary. What's important is that you do whatever it takes for you, where you can hear the voice of the Spirit and where you will always obey the voice of the Spirit. And that's going to be where you absolutely live in victory.